Welcome to Talking Wealth. I'm Blake Sterling, analyst and assessor at Wealth Within. Homeowners are likely to be rejoicing this month with the RBA deciding not to raise official interest rates as the country's underlying inflation remains under the 3% ceiling at 2.7%. Now, although this is good news, there are other economic forces looming in the background which may see interest rates rise independent of the RBA. You see, the big four banks are basically stuck between a rock and a hard place at the moment. Wholesale funding costs, that is money raised overseas, is getting more costly and scarce given the European debt crisis, the continuing lack of confidence from our friends over in the US, and increasing evidence of a slowdown in China. As such, those providing the much needed supply of funds are looking for higher rates of interest to offset the increased inherent risk with lending money in the current economic climate. Unfortunately, the more costly this funding becomes, the more banks forego those big juicy profits, and we all know how much the banks hate doing that. So why are the banks looking to borrow this money from overseas, I hear you ask? And to answer this question, let's first look at how the banks raise funds for loans. In essence, there are two ways that banks raise funds. Firstly, your deposits. When you deposit money into a bank, you are given a nominal interest rate on that money, which is usually just above the cash rate, normally by a percent or two. Secondly, banks also raise money through wholesale funding offshore. This money is then pooled together, and the banks act as an intermediary between the pooled funds and you as the borrower. A further 3% or so is added on top of the bank's costs, and this is where their profits come from. The problem we are experiencing at the moment, however, is twofold. The banks are struggling to attract enough deposits to cover their burgeoning debt obligations like mortgages, etc. And because of this, banks are now looking to borrow even more money overseas in an effort to shore up their loan books and keep a healthy degree of liquidity at the same time. For example, Commonwealth and Westpac are looking to borrow somewhere between $40 and $50 billion in wholesale funding each just this year. And this is just to give themselves some breathing space. And with wholesale funding on the rise, this higher cost needs to be passed on somewhere. And more likely than not, it will be passed on to us, the consumers, in the form of an increase in bank interest rates. Now, you might be asking yourself why rates haven't increased more already. And the simple answer, in my opinion, is the lead up to the current election. With the increased backlash from government and the public alike when banks raise rates independent of the RBA, it would be a PR disaster for any bank to do so now, and it is likely we won't see any further rise until after the election. So with that news, what can you do to minimise the personal impact of a future rate rise? I have an old saying, if you don't know how to manage your own money, someone else will. The best way to uncover those extra dollars to cover the cost of a rate increase starts by knowing exactly where all your money goes. Now, my first suggestion in managing your money more effectively is to call your bank and look to negotiate on your current interest rates and/or consolidate your current loans. Most banks nowadays have a number of different strategies in place that could save you a heap of cash. And also, don't be afraid to negotiate. You'd be surprised how willing banks are these days to retain your business. Next, you need to budget. Now, I know this is a scary word for some people. However, I was taught a simple process for managing my money some time ago, and I know firsthand how much more in control of your life you will feel if you simply know how to properly distribute your money. Additionally, those hours spent worrying about where the money to pay the next bill comes from can be used more effectively, such as looking at ways to build your personal wealth. Now, this system is easy and anyone can do it, no matter your current financial state. Here's how it's implemented. Step one, sit down, preferably with your partner, and work out exactly how much you spend on outgoings. For example, you'll need to work out totals paid for your mortgage each month, then bills such as water, power, rates, insurance, etc. And follow this up by working out how much you spend on food and fuel. Step two, you will need to set up several accounts with your bank. One account will be for your mortgage, one for your bills, and one for food and fuel. Now, you may be asking yourself, why do this? And then it's going to cost more money in bank fees. However, remember, the process here is to know exactly where your money is going. In essence, being better organized with your money so you know where every single dollar goes. Now, most banks have easy to set up low fee bank accounts, so it won't be much. Additionally, if you're able to negotiate, some banks may even set up extra accounts on top of your normal bank account for free. Step 3. As soon as your salary is deposited into your main account, you are to firstly pay yourself. You are more important than your bills, and it is important you reward yourself for the work put in during the working week. I recommend paying yourself around 10% of your after-tax salary. If this amount is too much, given other expenses, then work out a suitable amount you're comfortable with. Again, the main point here is not necessarily the actual amount, rather the fact you look after yourself first. This money can be put towards anything you desire. For example, taking the family to the movies or buying yourself some new clothes. Step 4. You must save a portion of your salary in a high interest account. This money is only to be used to build your wealth, i.e. trading or property investing. I recommend transferring around 10% of your salary into this account. If this is too much, then work out a suitable amount. Step 5. You will need one account for your mortgage, one for bills, and one for food and fuel. On payday, you will need to distribute the relevant amounts calculated from your budget into each account. Obviously, you may need to set up debit cards to access your money for fuel and for food shopping. Most bills can be direct debited from your nominated account, again, freeing up time spent thinking about paying these bills. Any money left over, and I'm sure you'll find some, can be extra to throw on your mortgage. The continuing process from here is simple. Every time your salary is paid into the main account, you need to distribute the money as you are budgeted for into each separate account. This process builds a really healthy habit of managing your money in an extremely efficient manner, and I guarantee you will find those extra dollars needed for any rate rise. Additionally, as you continue this habit, you are likely to phase out a lot of money placed on discretionary items, again allowing for more funds to be diverted either into the mortgage or savings. Thanks for listening today. I'm Blake Sterling, and this has been Talking Wealth.